Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Roy G. Bruce is in Augusta, Georgia for the day. We'll have him on momentarily to talk about all things Masters. We'll talk about Tiger Woods and his infamous drop that has resulted in a two-stroke penalty. A lot of people are saying that he got the benefit of the name. They're saying that because his name is Tiger Woods, he's still allowed in the tournament, that he should have been disqualified, that if it was anyone else, he'd be out of the tournament. So we'll definitely talk about that today. Bruce has some people who he thinks that are going to take over the lead and pull out. He'll give us the his winner on the day. The guys that I gave you before the event started, not looking too good. The only guy really close to the top would be maybe a Ricky Fowler at 2 under. I also had Lee Westwood. He was 2 under as well, so not too far off the lead. We'll also talk about a little bit of the MLB. The Yankees couldn't fill a ballpark the other day against the Baltimore Orioles. A little bit weird. The Mets tied with the Washington Nationals right now, second place in the NL East. That's got to be a good start for the Mets. You can definitely tell speaking of the Yankees, you can definitely tell Soriano, the new closer for the Washington Nationals, how much he means to a bullpen as the Washington Nationals struggle without him, giving up a lead in the bottom of the ninth to the Atlanta Braves, looking to be swept today. We'll also talk about Kobe Bryant and his Achilles, which is where I'm going to start out, because while Bruce isn't here, he's not really going to talk basketball, so I'll give you your NBA fix. Kobe Bryant tears his Achilles against the Golden State Warriors, the California Warriors, if you will. Tears his Achilles. He's going to be out 8 to 9 months. And apparently he's extremely bored during this process because he opened up an Instagram account. So you can follow him on his whole road to recovery. He sent out a very, very long Facebook message, which I'll get to here in a second, talking about his future, talking about his, I don't know if he's going through parts of depression or if he's going through an eye-opening time in his life or whatever this is. He got an injury. People reflect on everything around them, and then they try to regroup themselves and vent, as he puts it in the post, and then refocus on coming back. So here's the Facebook post. It's pretty long, but I'll read the gist of it. It said, "All the training and sacrifice just flew out the window with one step that I've done a million times. The frustration is unbearable. The anger is rage. Why the H did this happen? Makes no sense. Now I'm supposed to come back from this and be the same player or better at 35? How in the world am I supposed to do that? I have no clue. Do I have the consistent will to overcome this thing? Maybe I should break out the rocking chair and reminisce on the career that was. Maybe this is how my book ends." He goes in to talk about how Father Time maybe has defeated him. He talks about how it's 3 o'clock in the morning, he's on pain medication, and how it feels good to vent and just use social networks to get out his feelings, which also is kind of funny that he started an Instagram account during this post as well so he could take pictures. For those of you who don't know what Instagram is, you basically just tell a story through taking pictures. His wife is very active on Instagram. She probably had something to do with this, him starting the Instagram account. He goes on to say, "Stop feeling sorry for yourself, find the silver lining, and get to work with the same belief, same drive, and same conviction as ever. One day, the beginning of a new career journey will come," talking about retirement. "Today is not that day." He then ends it saying, "If you see me in a fight with a bear, pray for the bear." So, do we have a call?
Damn right.
All right, there he is. So, to close up, what
unbelievable. I got to go off on this. I've had internet all week. I'm sitting in a kitchen. I got 5 TVs around me. I couldn't be happier except for I'm not putting my chairs down at Augusta National so I can be in the first row at 18 green and the first row at 7 green. I'm doing my show, and boom, all of a sudden, this internet connection that was set up in my in the house that I'm staying in is no longer. I can't even find it. It's, you know, there's all kinds of neat stuff on here that I have no idea what it is. Fair signal. I don't want any of this. It's giving me what it's giving me, Roy. And everybody listening, by the way, this is Bruce Hall.
Yes, it
and
is.
You're listening to Bruce Hall.
Welcome to your show.
God, thank God Roy's in the studio today. Yeah. Hey, Roy, how was your bachelor party?
My bachelor party was great. I stayed at Barefoot.
Look, tell everybody, give us 2 minutes on the most fun it was. Did anything bad go on? Did anything illegal go on? And were there any women involved that were not your future wife?
Do me a favor. Incriminate yourself.
I'm going to go ahead and answer none of those questions and tell you where I stayed. I was at a Barefoot Resort in South Carolina right on the golf course. If you opened up our back suite, which we were in a presidential suite. It had four bedrooms and a huge living room. I mean, it was awesome right on the golf course. And if you opened up our back bay doors, you walked right onto the chip hole. I would call it a chipping green. But the thing was probably 150, 175 yards. So every day, you know, a couple times a day, I would go out there, drop like four or five balls and just, you know, use my pitch and putt all day. So that was great. It was awesome. We went deep sea fishing.
Well, did you get to play a lot?
We played a little bit, yeah. I mean, we were most of the time we were under the weather, really. So we didn't really play too much. We decided against playing 18.
It's amazing how much germs share when you're at a bachelor party. flu just gets
you. That's right. It'll get you. So we were going. The original plan was to play 18, but we decided against that, and we only went 9, which is probably a good decision because of how sick we were feeling. We were feeling so sick that we went deep sea fishing one day, and my brother. And one of my best friends was throwing up the entire ride. And if you know my brother at all, he does not want to get seasick. We grew up on the water, so it was very rocky. We caught some fish. It was good. We went go kart riding. So all you NASCAR fans out there, I turn left better than you. And yeah, it was great. It was a great time. But I had to come back, and Kobe Bryant tears his Achilles is what I was opening up with.
Big deal.
Yeah, he tears his Achilles.
Who cares? He's one guy. There's so many guys in Major League Baseball injured, it's not even funny. Jose Reyes slides into second base at the last second for some reason. And it looks like he breaks his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, why is a guy making $15 million a year not slide or stand up? You ever seen a kid in, you know, Little League or junior high school or high school do a half slide and hurt himself? It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Jose Reyes did it the other day. So, you know, this the wonderful Toronto Blue Jay team, which isn't so wonderful anyway, it lost maybe their best offensive threat of the year.
Yeah, so, and they've started out really slow, which...
Yeah, I mean, you know...
I can't say that is a surprise.
It's not even that. The whole thing is, when you come out of spring training... I mean, that's a long spring training. The only people that need spring training to be that long are the pitchers.
Yeah.
The position players, you know, it doesn't matter when you're during the year. You're going to be consistent to a certain point, but you're either hot or you're cold. You're consistent a little bit. Your pitching can be consistent, but, you know, R.A. Dickey started out first two outings. He didn't look very good at all.
Yeah.
You know, but they're deep in pitching. They're going to be okay. But I don't see them winning the East. I mean, I still think the Orioles are the team to beat. I think the Yankees are going to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a hitter for the Yankees, it's going to be a good time. If you're a pitcher for the Yankees and your name isn't Andy Pettit, or CeCe Sabathia, I think you're going to have an ERA somewhere in the sixes or sevens.
And so, we will get into that. We'll get into the MLB, but it is Masters weekend. We got a lot of Masters covers coming up here on AM 1230 WFAS. It's Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. Stick with us.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. It's Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking Masters. We're talking MLB. We'll probably get back into Kobe Bryant's Achilles here at some point in the show.
No, we're not going to talk about that slug. We're going to leave it alone.
Yeah, well, he's only the
biggest name in the NBA slug. To tear his Achilles.
He's a slug, and I don't want to talk about the NBA on Masters Sunday.
He's only a slug who is third in the scoring title and could still win the scoring title.
Let's talk about real athletes who don't violate women from behind, okay? Let's do that.
So we're not going to talk about Tiger.
Stop it. I have no
Tiger
idea
talk.
What
you wrote the rules.
Shut up, boy. I have no idea what Lindsey Vonn is teaching him. But I can only imagine it's fun. Hey, listen, let me ask you a question. Boy, you have a computer in front of you?
Absolutely
usual?
Not. I don't believe in technology.
Can you go to masters.com for me?
I've been there, Bruce.
Because I'm not connected to a network anymore in the house I'm in. By the way, the house owner is on her way here, probably driving 90 miles an hour down Washington Road going the wrong direction.
Or stopping at McDonald's to get breakfast.
Hey, listen, real quick, this is real good. What I want you to do is pull up masters.com, pull up the leaderboard.
What's up?
And let's talk about everybody that has a chance to win the tournament. Now, the greatest thing about the Masters is it's not free to come to. And I have been, this is my 28th straight Masters, and I am in the sports entertainment business. And the only, you know, besides Super Bowl for some close friends who are listening today probably, I don't really work any events anymore. I don't want to talk about why I don't work the Redskins because it's too depressing to think about. Even with RG3, it's still depressing when Dan Snyder owns your team. The thing about the Masters is it's a week of fun. And I got here last Saturday, and if you heard the show, I stopped and saw two college baseball games on the way down. And this was a little different week because for the first time in generations, no, it's not that time yet, but for the first time that I can remember, it's the biggest ticket I've ever seen. It's a big ticket. Monday was $500, $600, $700 to get in. I waited until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon and bought two tickets for $100 that looked like somebody had thrown them in the water. They actually worked. I went in and I did all my shopping on Tuesday. Because if you wait until Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday to do your shopping at the Masters, all the new good stuff's gone in your size. And I'm an extra large, so it's always gone. And I really don't appreciate when people who are not extra larges buy them to be big. Okay, buy the damn large, will you please? Because I can't get in a large anymore. I'm too fat. The other thing that on Tuesday, it was about $1,000 ticket to get in the morning. And and then Wednesday was like $1,250, $1,500. I don't even want to say what they're going for now. But on Thursday, Friday, if you went to StubHub.com, and you can go to StubHub.com right now, and let me just say this, on StubHub.com, there's maybe four tickets available. They're over 5,000 each for the day.
Yeah, there's That's two ridiculous. Left.
I wouldn't charge that. I wouldn't charge that guy that made the bad call on the 14-year-old kid that to get in. No, that's not true. I would charge him that much. But I got to tell you, it exemplifies why this event is so hard to get to. People ask me all the time, Roy, and you even ask me, Roy, you go, Bruce, why does everybody want to go to the Masters? What is it like? What's so great about it? And what I say to people like you, Roy, and Matt, and everybody else is, well, the best Super Bowl I've ever been to, it's like going to four of them 4 days in a row. Only the game doesn't last 3.5, 4 hours and have a great halftime show. Although Lynyrd Skynyrd did play here down the street the other night. Wasn't Beyonce or anything. But the thing about it is that every day, Thursday, it's from 5:30 a.m. until you get home after eating dinner and you go to bed and you get up 5:30, 6 o'clock the next day, 5:30, 6 o'clock the next day, 5:30, 6 o'clock the next day. There's no feeling you get at any other event I've ever been to than the feeling that you get when you go through the gates at the Masters here in Augusta, Georgia. And I'm a hacker. I'm like a 12 to a 16. You know, Roy, you're probably better than me. you'd have to give me like 2-3 strokes aside because you played on your high school golf team. You're such a great athlete. But me, not me. I didn't.
I was on my high school golf team. Yes.
You did play on your high school golf team.
Yeah, yeah. I was on the.
Yeah, because I went to your fundraiser.
Yeah.
And I actually donated money to try to get you better, but I got one question for you. What'd you do with all the money that I donated to get you better at golf, Roy?
I don't know. Apparently, I spent it this weekend in
South Carolina. You guys bought nice shirts at Falls Church High School.
We did have nice shirts, and we had and we played Pro V1s. So that's probably where you're.
And let me just tell you. Oh God, you know what, Roy? What did we find out about Pro V1s at the golf show in Westchester County? What was the name of the golf show?
The Journal News. Golf
yeah,
show?
God, boy, I'm so glad you're not 60, because I couldn't remember. But the Journal News Westchester golf show was a great golf show we went to. It had a bunch of great people, a bunch of great charities were there, a bunch of great people. But the one thing we learned was Titleist lost their patent rights on the Pro V1, science of making the ball. Because it was the last year of it this past year. Well, we remember I bought like 10 dozen Pro V1s for $38 a dozen.
Yeah, they were cheaper.
Well, guess what all the players are playing right now?
What are they playing?
TaylorMade.
Yeah?
Like the guy said.
Yeah.
They're playing the new TaylorMade Pro Ball because evidently it's as close as you can get to the Titleist science technology and not be a Pro V1 from years past. Isn't that amazing? So
cool.
I'm going to start buying TaylorMade like I'm a scratch golfer or something. Oh, I could hit flying ladies, pink ones, and it wouldn't make any difference. And I'd be able to find my ball in the woods a lot easier. I'm Bruce Hall, and I don't mind attacking my feminine side, especially on a golf course. You know what? I'm going to start asking women on Tuesday mornings if I can play on Ladies' Day.
What?
Don't you think that's a great way to have fun, Roy?
Ladies' Day?
Outkick some of them, huh?
I don't know anything about playing on Ladies' Day or the red tees. I know that if you don't hit the ball past the red tees on your tee off, then you have to hit your next shot pants down. That's really
lying if you say you've never hit a drive that didn't pass the ladies' tees.
Oh yeah, if you don't hit a drive past the women's tee, you have to hit the next shot pants down. I feel like that's a universal rule.
And have you ever done that?
Yeah, absolutely. I played golf in high school.
Can I tell you something I bet you've never done and I've done twice? And this is embarrassing, but it's not because Mike Patrick, who used to do Sunday Night Football and who was my regular partner when I played, had seen me do this twice the same week. I hit a drive that went backwards.
I did that.
I came off the ball so bad and hit swung so hard that it hit about 8 feet in front of the tee box. And spun in a remarkable way and went back behind me. And I have never seen two people laugh so hard in my life. They were laying on the ground, and, I mean, it was really embarrassing. I actually hit my shot, got in my cart with my partner, Larry Love, and went on down the fairway, and Kevin Kiley and Mike Patrick are laying on the ground on the tee box, you know, maybe urinating in their pants. I'm Bruce Hall, and I don't do that.
I did that one time. I was playing at Jefferson, and Jefferson Golf Course, hole two, it goes to the right, and then the hole is back on the left. So you kind of want to play it. You kind of want to play a slice. So I had my driver club head up open a little bit, and then when I swung, it opened up even further because it slipped in my hand, and the ball went probably 70 yards to the right and about 2 yards behind me. So I definitely drove – the drive went backwards.
Hey, golf is fun, though, because, you know, you never forget those stories. But let's talk about the Masters. Have you got the leaderboard pulled up?
I do, yeah.
Let's talk about the guys that are in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You should have three names there. They're all tied at 7-under, correct?
Yep.
All right, who's your first name?
Brant Snedeker.
Brant Snedeker. Great kid. Met him at the Greenbrier press conference 3 years ago before they had the PGA. You know, when they announced they were going to start having a PGA Tour event there every year. Wonderful kid. You know where he's from? Nashville, Tennessee. Went to Vanderbilt, so he's smart too. And married his high school sweetheart. Greater guy you'll never meet. Had a really bad choke a couple of years ago here, where he looked like he was going to win, and he just made like three bogeys in a row, and it was over. And he really had a hard time talking about it afterwards. Brandt gave a lot of interviews at the end of the day yesterday. Sounds like he's ready to play. He's really the one thing you can't do at Augusta National, this course is not that long. They have literally used every foot of this course they can, because it's not a big place. It really isn't. It's a beautiful place, and it's fun. It's like being in an auditorium. You can hear every hole has its own sound, has its own cheer sound. If you're sitting on 7 green or 2 green and you hear something to your left down in the hole, we call it the hole. It's like it's where 6 and 16 and 15 all meet. A little hollow down there with a little pond. That's 6. That's 16. That's 15 green. And you know that somebody on that hole birdied the hole or eagled the hole, and you look up, and you can find out on the leaderboard, or you can even look at your sheet and find out who's there now. And I'm telling you, it's like nowhere else you've ever been. But Snedeker has a shot. Now, the reason I took Snedeker off of my betting sheet today, for all you bettors out there, for better or for worse, I always say, the reason I took him off is because leaders generally don't win. Unless their name's Tiger Woods. It's just too hard to do. He's also up there with Angel Cabrera, correct?
Yes, he is. Right? But we will talk about that. We'll talk about the rest of the leaderboard when we get back.
We're having too much fun today, aren't we?
We are having too much time. And for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion here on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back. Start taking notes on me and everyone who's on the
top. Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
The ultimate in personal jewelry service at Twin Jewelers. Customers become friends, and everyone gets treated like family. With locations in Yonkers and Pleasantville, that's Twin Jewelers. And we're back here at AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're running down the Masters leaderboard, talking about who has a shot. Bruce will give you his favorite leading in today, but he just said that Snedeker is not one of those guys, as he thinks it's too hard to go in the favorite and remain the favorite throughout the day. So, Bruce.
Hello, Matt. No. When Roy was done doing his thing.
Bruce. So,
are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, buddy. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You are on the air, sir.
You are on the air. What do you have for me, caller?
I'm knocking over all the stuff these people have. It's unbelievable. You know, the thing about renting a house when you pay anywhere from 5 grand to like 15 grand for the week is you don't feel bad tearing stuff up because they got plenty of money to fix it. And I'm sitting here with a computer that's A, not working. I've got a computer cord. I got my phone cord charging while I'm on it. And we're talking about sports and the Masters. Okay, so we're going to talk about Angel Cabrera real quick.
Yes, we are.
I don't like him. He's a great man. His kid's on his back. I think that's a wonderful story. Guess what? I can take off my headphones because I don't need them.
Were you
Angel Cabrera? He's not going to win because he's already got a green jacket. He has the intestinal fortitude to win. He's a tough SOB. But you know what? I hexed him, so he's done. Who's the next? Who's tied with him?
Well, Cabrera's tied for the lead. The next wonder would.
Yeah, I know. I know he's tied. But there's one, a third guy tied, right?
No, there's not. Adam Scott would be.
Oh, there's just two guys.
Yeah.
Oh, Adam Scott's 6.
Yeah, Adam Scott is 6 under from
Australia. He's probably going to win the tournament. And by the way, there's like 3 guys from Australia in the top 6, so they have a shot to break the drought. They've never won the Masters, and Greg Norman should have won twice. And you know, there's been a couple of guys that have come very close But you know, this is the year I think Adam Scott wins it. And the only thing that's bad about that is that means Stevie Williams will have that big ass-eaten look on his face, that grin. And I'm not a big Stevie Williams fan, but I have found out from a lot of people, including caddies I've talked to here, that he's a great caddy. You can't take that away from him. You don't have to like him, but he's a great caddy, and he does a good job for whoever he's on the bag for. Anybody else at six, or do they go right to five?
No, Scott is the lone six man. The five under would
all right,
be
it's five under.
Mark. It's Mark Leishman.
Yeah, Leishman literally has never made the cut here.
He was the leader after day one, right?
Yeah, he was the leader after day one. He hasn't gone away. He's played pretty much even par golf since. But Leishman's not going to win. Who's the next guy?
The next guy on the list, also five under, is Jason Day, another guy out of Australia.
Jason Day has a great opportunity here. He's also from Australia, but he's not going to beat Adam Scott. He just looked to me yesterday like he couldn't put three or four holes together. He would play great two or three holes, and then all of a sudden he would just have a brain fart and miss the side of the green he really needed to hit the ball to and make bogey. He had a big up-and-down round yesterday. And who's next, Roy?
It is Adam Kuchar's brother. From another mother, and that would be Matt Kuchar of the United States.
Now, it's not even spelled the same, but Kuch is the Georgia Tech boy. He's from Georgia. His dad used to be on his back when he first came to Augusta. His dad's older than me, I think, or my age, and I guess he doesn't want to drag his dad around anymore. If something's happened to his dad, I apologize. I don't know about it, but I'm pretty sure his dad's around. Kuch has had a great last two or three years. I mean, he's been on the top 10 on the money list for, I think, three straight years. Last year, he had the best year he's ever had. If anybody can make, he is my dark horse, Kuchar is. So is Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is not out of it, and if it wasn't for him hitting a nearly perfect shot on Friday afternoon on number 15 when he did something he hardly ever does, which is lay up on 15, Tiger Woods is 7-under. Because when he hit the stick literally a couple of inches above the hole and it came back at a breakneck speed into the water on 15, if he had hit that a foot shorter, he'd have made birdie. And if he'd have made birdie instead of, oh, this lady whose house it is back and she's going to save me. Hi. It's good to meet you. This is Susie. She's helping me out. How you doing? I'm Bruce Hall. Pleasure. I'm sitting here meeting the people. I'm Bruce Hall, by the way. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS in Westchester, New York. And we're talking about the Masters. I'm giving everybody who's going to win. Because as a handicapper, I kind of know these things. Nobody in the by the way, Roy, nobody in the final grouping is going to win. Cabrera's not going to win, and neither, unfortunately, is the kid from Nashville. But I'm telling you. Oh, is that what that is? That fell, and I put it back in. I was trying to think. You know what I thought that was? A little new mini phone. I got. Hey, I knocked something over, which is like this portable Wi-Fi thing that they have.
And yeah. Basically,
and they're going to get me up again, so when we take another break, uh-huh. I can. Matt's face, but if I sound good enough, we should just stay on the phone, because it's not like you can see my face anyway. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to our show.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Masters. Roy, who's next?
Well, thank you for the play-by-play of your internet situation. That was extremely...
Oh, no, it's unbelievable.
It was great stuff.
Oh, it is. You have no idea how exciting this is.
Next up would be Tim Clark of South Africa, who...
From North Carolina State University.
He would be a spot up, but he bogeyed the final hole. He bogeyed 18.
What is he, 3-under? Is he 3 or 4-under?
He's 3-under, yeah.
You know what? Timmy Clark could win. Timmy Clark is a solid golfer. He represents South Africa when he plays golf because he's from South Africa, but he went to Raleigh. He went to North Carolina State University. He's a great guy. Has a long putter. has never been a great putter, but he's a great striker of the ball. He's a little guy, and he hits the ball extremely well. I love Tim Clark. He can win this. I would give him a 10% chance at winning this. I would give Adam Scott a 30 to 35% chance of winning it. I would give Cabrera and Snedeker a zero chance, even though they're in the lead. All right, who's next?
Next is a guy, let's see if I can pronounce his name right. It's Tigray Woods.
Tigray Woods. Well, you mean the guy that, you're talking about Lindsey Vonn's boyfriend,
yes,
right?
Lindsey Vonn's boyfriend, whoever his name is.
He's a pretty good golfer. Hey, let me tell you, El Tigray is hitting the ball as good as I've seen him hit it in years. He even admitted that the other, on Friday, he said he hit the ball better than he said it that he could remember. That was his quote. And now, I don't even know if that got on the air, but that got on the waves down here. Yeah. He just went, I can't believe I hit the stack. And by the way, he did not get disqualified, even though 90% of all the purists think he should have, because he actually broke the rules. He admitted to breaking the rules, and that's not, if you sign your card and you don't call that penalty on yourself, or an official comes by and discusses a penalty with you and it's made there for you, that should be a DQ. There is no two-stroke penalty. Now, there is some kind of a vague rule that I don't think even comes into play here that says that if you don't understand what they're telling you, like if it had happened to the 14-year-old kid, that you can receive a penalty instead of a disqualification. Tiger knows the rules, wouldn't you agree?
I would assume so.
Yeah, no, he does.
Having played since he was 3 years old, I would assume that he knows the rules of golf.
And he went to Stanford, which is not where you send idiots. So he's a pretty smart kid, but he should have probably been DQ'd.
I believe you pronounced the word Stanford wrong. It's Stanford.
Stanford, trust me.
Stanford.
Yeah, well, listen, that's Harvard.
Harvard and Stanford.
Imagine your coach stuff, Roy. The East Coast talks like that. The West Coast talks like normal people. Hey, let me just say this. Tiger can win. I'd give Tiger about a 15 to 20% chance of winning. So if you're betting straight up today and you take Tiger, and I'll guarantee you, you're not getting 5-2 or even money with Tiger today. You're probably getting like 6-7-1. That's a nice little bet. And you can root for the kid all day long. But Timmy Clark, you better be getting 15-20%.
Without that double bogey on 15, he birdied it in his third round. He parred in the first round. So without the double bogey, he pars it. So he would be five under.
Without the double bogey, it's probably a foot from the hole.
Yeah, he would have parred it. He would have parred the hole.
He would have birdied it. It was a four-stroke swing. He should be 7-under, Tiger.
Well, regardless, he would be at the top of the leaderboard.
Playing. One of the two.
Yeah.
Hey, if he hadn't eaten that last bite of the banana, he'd have been like 3 feet short, and he'd be putting for birdie from like right next to it. Who's after Timmy Clark? Talk to me.
Well, we'll get into that right after the. It was Tiger Woods right after Timmy Clark, but we'll get into what's after Tiger Woods after the break. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm also here to talk to you about Park Ave Med Spa, the new NeoGraft hair restoration program at Park Avenue Medical Spa is going 6 months strong. Receive a $500 credit for any hair restoration treatments booked in February. For more information, at parkavenuemedicalspa.com. This is AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll be right back. If you blow my time, will you let it go to your head?
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to brucehallsports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here at AM 1230 WFAS. It's Bruce Hall's Second Opinion as the Masters coverage is starting to kick off. We're watching the Golf Channel here in the studio because it's so, so great. Gotta love the golf tournament.
And well, it's supposed to be on CBS Sports, but apparently Fios doesn't have CBS Sports because I think the only thing they have on CBS Sports Network would be the Masters.
Yeah. So it's not on CBS yet?
No, it's Face of the Nation with Joe Manchin.
Oh, what a terrible show. That's the feedback.
Hi, Bruce. What are you doing?
Just go ahead in there. Yeah,
we'll let him sort out his internet stuff.
I'm sure he is having a great meeting and conversation there. But after Tiger Woods in the standings, as we talked about, Tiger Woods should be at least 5 under without the penalty. The next up on that list is a guy who I was very high on coming into the tournament, Bruce, and that is a guy named Ricky Fowler. He's one of the golf boys, so to speak.
Hey, let me tell you a story real quick. You'll love this. This is a Ricky Fowler story. Ricky, I'm on 18 green, and I love that green. I mean, 18 tee box. And I'm there the other day, and I'm there with my buddy John and all his crew, and Ian Poulter's having a rough day. Matter of fact, Ian Poulter didn't make the cut. Ian Poulter comes through there. He's eight over. It's the last hole on Friday for Ian Poulter. It's his last hole. He's going to get on his private plane and fly away probably within an hour. He hits a tee ball on number 18, which, as you know, is a very narrow, kind of like shot through those trees. He goes dead right with this Cobra, probably a $500 driver with his shaft on it. There's a little kid in all orange, little chubby kid. He's cute as he can be. And he's got a hat on that's like sun-dyed, a different color than orange now because he's had it so long. Mm-hmm. And he's got Ricky's signature on it. Okay, and he's got Ricky's pants and Ricky's shirt. He goes over after hitting the shot, Ian Poulter does, hands the kid his driver, pats him on the head, and says, "You'll do a lot better than I will with this club, young man," and walks away.
That's really cool.
It was they actually filmed it on CBS so they could use it later on right there. Everybody gave the kid a big ovation. But Ricky Fowler is playing. Is he 3 or 2?
Fowler is 2.
Yeah, you know, it's possible, but Ricky's probably, he's not, I could see him probably shooting 69 or 70. I can't shooting 65, can you? I think 8 under is the number.
Well, he shot a 68, he shot a 70 in rounds 1 and 3. Round 2, he was a little rocky with a 76, but he had an eagle in round 1 and round 3. Round 2 hurt him. He had 3 bogeys and a double bogey. So
right,
as long as he bounces back.
Great striker of the ball. He can putt because he's young, but he's not a great putter. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
I think that he can make up some. You know, the one thing you got to do at the Masters is you got to finish in the top 16 in ties. Because if you do, you get to come to the Masters next year, no matter how bad of a year you're having. Mm-hmm. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm in Augusta, Georgia, having a blast. I actually slept till 7 a.m. this morning. It was the first time I slept past probably 4:30 all week, and I got to tell you, I feel rejuvenated. As a matter of fact, I'm not even in a hurry to get to the course. I already got my chair down at 18. I'm going to walk very slowly over there, and hopefully I'll be, you know, we had a playoff last year with Bubba Watson, and I had my picture nationally behind Bubba when he hit that shot. Bubba hit 2 shots last year that were the exact same shots within a half hour of each other. And Bubba, yesterday, played with a marker who is the Augusta National Club champ, John Knox, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet in your life. Pretty sure Bubba beat John. Usually John beats the guys he plays with, but not many champions from the year before are playing with a marker. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, Bubba looked like he played in about 3 hours and had a blast. And what did Bubba shoot yesterday? If you had him on there, you scroll down to the bottom. Or he's one of the first guys out. But he's got to be like, he might be 6-7 over.
Bubba Watson is, let's see if this is him, 2 over. And he made the cut.
Oh, well, then Bubba shot 70 yesterday.
Yeah,
he beat John. Because John triple bogeyed one hole.
He shot 70 yesterday, yeah. And he's playing today.
But here's my question. How many guys, normal guys, and I can't call John Knox a normal guy, because he's a member of Augusta National, okay? But how many guys get to play with a Masters champion on national TV? Not many. Yeah. And guess who's playing with, I wonder who the last player is today. Who's playing with John Knox today? Try to find that out for me.
Who's playing
while
with?
While you're doing that.
Whom? John Knox?
Yeah, he'll be playing. He's the marker that's in the first group going out today.
Let me get down there.
Well, while you find that, tell me who the next guy in line is after Ricky Fowler. Let's go down to even, and then we'll talk about the rest of them after that.
Yeah, after Ricky Fowler, it is Steve Stricker, and he's also 2-under.
I picked Stricker to win the tournament before the tournament. I give Strick about a 7% chance at 2-under, maybe 5%. I think that's accurate. You know, if you're not getting killer numbers, you guys out there that are playing this in your pools, I'd have to leave Stricker out. Now, Stricker is perfectly capable of putting a lot of birdies together because he can putt. If you remember a few weeks back, Stricker was the guy that gave Tiger his putting lesson. You remember that?
Yeah.
Before he won the Honda Open or whatever it was. And guess who got second in that tournament because he could putt, Stricker. So, you know, I think either way, Roy, there are so many good golfers in this. Who's after Stricker?
It's Bernard Langer.
You know, let me tell you something. We saw him eagle number two. I've been at number two for 28 years on the green, first row or second row if I'm, like, late. And Bernhard eagled. He was the only eagle of the day on number two the other day. And guess what? He's 2-under. So that eagle kept him from – and if you know anything about Bernhard, great striker of the ball. You know how old he is, Roy? 55 years old.
A young man.
He's amazing. He's older than Freddie Couples. I saw Bernard Langer miss the putt in the Ryder Cup at Kiawah Island in 1991 that gave the Americans the victory, and he showed up at their hotel where they stayed and was shaking everybody's hand and congratulating them and doing autographs and taking pictures and actually picked my son up and put him on his shoulders. I mean, Bernard Langer is one of the greatest people you'll ever meet. Now, that kid that got penalized for slow play, and we'll talk about that later, maybe a little bit, Bernard Langer is slower than that kid, trust me. He's the slowest golfer I've ever seen. And thank you so much. God, he saved my life. But anyway, it's good. Now, after Langer's not going to win. Bernard may shoot 72 today. He may shoot even par today. But that'll be a good round for him in 4 days. Because, you know, Bernhard plays in a lot of events still, but not nearly as many as he used to. Who's after Langer, Roy?
Yeah, after Langer, we have a guy who I was very high on going into the tournament in Lee Westwood.
Yeah, and you know what? He almost didn't make the cut. What did he must have shot 68 yesterday.
He shot a 73. He shot 73 yesterday, and he's 2-under.
Oh, then he was 1-over. So he made, and what is he now? Is he 1-under or 2-under?
He's 2-under.
So he was 3-under going in. You know what he did? He made up a lot of ground on the back nine on Friday. And then yesterday he shoots 1-over. Now, Lee Westwood is in it, but he's not putting the ball very well. My sources on the putting green on Thursday when he was working with his coach said he hit 25 straight putts that were left of the hole. Just having a problem with his putting. When you're playing at Augusta National and the Masters, if you're having a problem with your putting, you're lucky to make the cut. And obviously, he's a great ball striker because even with his bad putting, he's 3-under. Who's after Lee, Roy?
Yeah, after Lee Westwood, we have another guy who's 2-under. And this will wrap up the 2-under guys and go from 1-under. In Jim, what is it, Furyk? I don't know how to say his name.
Hey, Jimmy Furyk.
Furyk.
Jimmy Furyk.
Too many consonants in that last name.
Yeah, but Jimmy Furyk's been around for years. Jimmy Furyk on multiple Ryder Cup teams, multiple President's Cup teams, has never won the Masters. He may be the best guy. Him and Stricker, well, there's so many of them. Him and Stricker are two of the best American golfers that have never won the Masters. Freddie won the Masters almost 20 years ago. Freddie could have won 3 or 4 Masters. But I would say Jimmy Furyk probably isn't going to win it. Who's after him? Are we at one under now?
Yeah, now we're starting to get into the one under guys. And at one under, we have Nick Watney. And then after him, also with we have Sergio Garcia. And then we have Van Pelt and Fidesz Castano, Gonzalo.
Did he do like five over yesterday?
Who's that? Who'd you say? Sergio?
Sergio Garcia.
Sergio Garcia went one over yesterday, And he shot four over the day before, really, and then day one he was 66.
You know, there's a lot of Americans rooting for him here. Because he's another guy that's one of the best golfers in the world that's never won the Masters.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here watching Arnie putt in 1960. If you go to Masters.com, people, if you're listening, it's got everything on there. It's got the leaderboards, got news of the tournament, got some footage you can watch. You know, it's going to be, I would imagine it's on the Golf Channel now, but I guess they switched to CBS probably as early as 1 or 2 o'clock this afternoon. I'm sitting here looking at this leaderboard. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's probably 11 guys that can win this still. And if you're over par at this point, you're probably out of luck. There are some really good golfers. You know, KJ Choi is another really good golfer. Did you know, Roy, that KJ Choi didn't pick up a golf club until he was 24 years old?
I did not know that.
He joined the South Korean Army, and he needed something to do with his spare time, so he took up golf. Not bad, huh? Pretty good decision.
Yeah, that's
Ernie Els is 2 over. Bubba's 2 over.
Luke Donald is 2 over.
Guys will have good days today, I think.
What about Sink?
You know what? Stuart Sink is... evidently, he must have a head cold because he's got the biggest head I've ever seen. So, you know, he's 3 over. He's in trouble.
What about your man, Mr. Messy Hair, Rory McIlroy?
Rory McIlroy has already teed off.
Yeah, he's birdied 2.
He's 4 over. Rory, there's got to be trouble in paradise here. I haven't seen Rory smile all week. When you carry your girlfriend around with you all over the world, and you're not smiling, it gives off kind of a bad vibe. What do you think, Roy? Don't you think there's a little trouble in paradise there?
I think he's still a young guy. He'll be back. He'll be back up. That's why I like the golf boys. You know, the Bubba Watsons, the Hunter Mahans, and my boy Ricky Fowler. I like those guys.
By the way, Hunter Mahan didn't make the cut.
No, I know. I'm not saying this weekend.
He hit the ball really bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying this weekend. I'm saying in general, moving forward in golf, I like the younger guys because they just seem more relaxed. You look at all the, you know, the golf boy music videos that they put out. You see Bubba Watson's hovercraft golf cart that he's driving over the lakes and stuff. I mean, it just looks like they're having fun, and it seems like they're more relaxed. But you're right. When you see Ricky Fowler and he's not smiling after, you know, he opened
you
up.
Mean
what?
Rory McIlroy, yeah.
Yeah, when he opens up, he's 2 under, you know, and he's not smiling, then you know something's up there.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, we're sitting here looking at this, and it really does come down to where you are on the green. You can't be too aggressive here. Day has the game to win. Adam Scott has the game to win. Angel Cabrera has, you know what Angel Cabrera was ranked in the world going into this tournament?
Well, I don't know, but I'm sure you'll tell us on the other side of the break. This is AM 1230 WFAS. Sorry to cut you off, but this is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll be right back.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're going over our Masters picks. We're going.
Yep.
We just went over the leaderboard, and now Bruce has internet, and he doesn't sound like he's talking through a cup. So welcome back, Bruce, to your own show.
Did I sound that bad? I didn't sound that bad.
Usually you sound pretty hoarse. Then you sounded like you were running while yelling. So we know you don't run.
Well, you know,
we know you yell. So we definitely knew it was a phone conversation.
You know what you needed to do, and this would be something that you need to think about in the future. Tell me to tone it down a tad, because I can't tell if you can hear me or not. Plus, you know what I hate about being hoarse? You know, you almost have to yell to get it out. And you know what? I wasn't hoarse this morning until Matt and I got into a terrible discussion about politics. And we'll leave it at that.
Yeah,
because everybody listens to the show knows exactly what. Oh, Matt is holding up the IQ that he currently holds. Hey, listen, Matt, let me know when it's time for me to do my NAR thing. Just say Bruce has something to say, and we'll do it that way. Because you know what I'm going to do, Matt? I'm going to minimize you and keep talking. Hey, Roy.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Timmy Clark's playing with Tiger Woods. That is going to be unbelievable. Those are two of the best players in this tournament, mm-hmm. and two guys that are capable of winning today that are four strokes back. And for all of you people that think that you're going to get anywhere near, and by the way, if you're not inside the gate yet, what is it, 11 o'clock yet?
It's 11:06, Bruce.
Okay. If you're not there yet, it's going to be hard to get a front row seat anywhere pretty soon. Adam Scott's play with Mark Leishman. Good. Those Aussies will knock each other off, except I like Adam. There is actually a lot of Australian dollars bet on Scott today is what my sources tell me. Because it's legal to gamble in Australia and everywhere else in the free world except Las Vegas for some reason, or a Native American reservation with a hotel on it. Mm-hmm. They tee off at 2:30. So you figure it's going to be a 5 to 5 hour and probably 15-minute round today.
There's my boy, Ricky Fowler, is teeing off with Steve Stricker at 2.
Snedeker and Cabrera, that's what we call a self-check. Between the two of them, I really don't see these guys having fun together today. I don't. And I don't see either of them winning. I really don't. I just think there's too much pressure on both of them. I really do. Hey, you know what? Here's another interview with Snedeker. He's doing a presser right now. Too much pressure, in my opinion. Let me ask you a question, Roy. Uh-huh. What do you think about this sudden success that the New York Mets are having in the National League East?
Well, it's a bunch of young guys who are hungry. They traded away all their talent pretty much, and they're bringing up some young guys who are hungry. I think that when you bring up young guys and you present the fresh start idea to a bunch of players, then they're going to start off hot, especially in a division with the Philadelphia Phillies, who are kind of the same old group that has been there forever, you know, and the Miami Marlins, who even their own fans hate the Miami Marlins right now. So, I'm not surprised at all. I don't think it'll last. I feel like you can only sell the fresh start, you know, ideology for so long, but I'm not surprised at all at their fresh start. I think that, and I said this to many people, that I thought that the Mets on their best day and the Yankees kind of just cruising, I think that they would end up around the same. I think the Mets could be better than the Yankees this year. I don't think they're going to be, but they have the potential to be better than the Yankees.
I think you're absolutely correct, and you made a couple of really good points. The thing I like about what the Mets have going on, and you got to understand, their number one guy in their system, Ryan Wheeler, is out still with an oblique injury. They're probably rehabbing in Double-A and then Triple-A in the next week or so. But the Mets are getting great pitching. They're getting some timely hitting. And, you know, if you look at what they have going on, you know, they play at Colorado. Colorado, not a particularly strong team.
No.
Even though they can hit the ball, they got no pitching. The Mets have much better pitching. You know, the Washington Nationals right now are tied with the Mets for second place in the East at 7-4. Now, granted, it's early.
Mm-hmm.
But how about those Atlanta Braves? They're 10-1. Everybody's is showing up for work.
Except BJ.
You know, Well, it doesn't matter what BJ does.
His little brother, though, looks like an MVP candidate right about now.
Well, his little brother is a solid hitter. He's a solid defensive player, and he's a good clubhouse guy. He's not going to be leading them anyway except swinging the bat. They have – listen, Atlanta has got – you know, I mean Hayward is in right field. You know, BJ is in center. They can move anybody they want around in left field.
Yeah.
Their infield is playing as well as it. If Dan Uggla hits 260 and only punches out 150 times, he'll drive in 80 or 90 runs.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team that the Washington Nationals have got to be very careful that they don't lose any more, blow any more four-run leads in the ninth inning. They did it the other night. And I'm telling you.
Yeah, I was there for that.
But you know what? We saw the beginning of that last season in the playoffs. Remember, Roy? Because that's what our bullpen looked like last year. I'm not convinced that the $25 million that they paid the guy from the New York Yankees, Soriano, is going to be money well spent.
Well, he didn't pitch that night.
No, but.
That was Clippard and Storen.
I know that, but what I'm telling you is he's already blown a save, and he's already looked not very good in a couple of other outings. I'm not convinced the guy's all that great. And there's a reason that teams like the New York Yankees let a guy like that go. It's not so much that they want to watch the money they spend. They think they have somebody better for less money, and his name is Mark Montgomery. And he's in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre. And he is their closer. And in seven innings, Mark struck out 10 batters, walked one, has four saves. I mean, the kid's a stud. And they won't have to pay Mark for three or four more years. And I think that what you're going to find is that when Mariano is gone, Mark Montgomery steps into that role. It's not going to be anybody they have now. And they're really bringing him along very carefully. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I have Roy Edwards. Yeah. Thank you, Roy, for helping me out today. You know, it's always tough when you're on the road, even when you're in a studio, which, by the way, I have a press pass, but it's not a Masters press pass. But it works in the parking area.
That's funny.
I'm sorry. But because they don't really, you know, all they do is look under and see it's press and see that it's a radio station. They just move you on. That's why they're parking cars and not working inside. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. The Philadelphia Phillies, I don't even recognize them. Do you recognize them?
Well, Chase Utley, it looks like he's back to his old self. But other than that, I'm not sold on the Philadelphia Phillies. They're a game under 500 and they lost to the Marlins last night, who I talked about. Even their own fans are rebelling against them. They have a website, Rage Against the Marlins, a playoff of Rage Against the Machine, which I love. And I mean, they're playing like crap right now. So,
you know what? If Bud Selig plays his cards right, and I mean this, do I have something to say?
Yes, you do.
Say it.
For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. For Matt and Roy, we'll be back in a minute with more stuff on GM.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here at AM 1230 WFAS. It's Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. And we're starting to get into baseball here. And Bruce, you were talking about the Phillies. And you were talking about how old they are. I said Chase Utley still looks like Chase Utley, but the rest of the team can go, you know, to a retirement home somewhere. John Lannon's their fifth starter, who wasn't even a big league starter last year. So what do you see out of the MLEs?
Well, you know what? I like the Mets actually getting well. If they can stay healthy. And look, I hate to compliment Sandy Alderson because I don't like the guy, but I really do kind of see some real positives with the Mets. David Wright's a great guy to have around. I watched them after they got the win last night. Harvey is pitching great. They've got an opportunity. Like I said, if they stay healthy and if they can develop some minor league talent, which they look like they're probably going to do, they could be contenders again one day. I don't think they're the Nationals, and I definitely don't think they're the Braves. But I think they're not that far off. And I think you're right, Roy. I think they could probably be a 500 team, maybe even a little better than that, as long as they don't get hurt. I'm looking at the Masters leaderboard right now. Mm-hmm. Evidently, Ryan Moore's 3-under after 8 holes today. He started the day at 8-over. With Phil Mickelson, they were both 8-over. Phil's 7. They must be playing together because they both had finished 8. And you know what? Moore didn't even birdie 8, which is odd because if you're on fire, normally you'll get a birdie on number 8. They're going to play number 9 and make the turn. Looks like Phil's going to get out of town before 2 o'clock today, which is probably good for Phil because he's not having any fun. I can tell you that right now. You listen to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on
AM 1230 WFAS.
No, that's not what we say now. We say News Talk 1230 WFAS. That's why I was taking my time, Roy. But, of course, you don't read the blurbs that come out. You're too busy with tell everybody what you do all week long, except for don't tell them about your government job, but tell them about the Sports Man Cave, what you're doing. You were looking for writers in Boston. Was it Boston this week?
Yeah, we've expanded to Boston. We're in the process of expanding to Chicago, Seattle, Miami, and Tampa, Philadelphia. We're all over the globe right now. So
you know what? I love what you do. You like the big picture. As long as you don't get spread too thin and you got good people everywhere, mm-hmm. Let me tell you, having a sports syndicate, a syndicate like that is a very strong thing. Even if it's just, a little bit of good writing here and there, those guys grow, and a lot of your guys are real young like you, right?
Yeah. It's all mostly college, fresh out of college. I got a couple guys who are professional writers, so to speak. I got a couple guys. My Morgantown blog has really taken storm. I got a bunch of guys who used to write for some, the bigger named people, and then found a home with me. So, I got the majority of them are young guys who are writing, pumping out 2 to 3 blogs a week kind of stuff. So yeah, we're all over the globe. That's sportsmancave.com, and then we also have SMC Radio, which is starting to take off a little bit, and we're going to move into SMC TV. Here in a little bit, but we're sticking with the radio for now.
Listen, I hate to jump to the NFL real quick, but let's jump to the NFL real quick because a lot of our listeners are big NFL. We see it a lot. I mean, we get a lot of there's a lot of stuff going on in the fall when we get into the NFL season, especially in the New York area. And the thing that is amazing to me is how some guys like Antoine Winfield, who's a 35, 36-year-old safety, cornerback safety, that has played with the Minnesota Vikings for years, mm-hmm. and is one of the strongest, toughest tacklers I've ever seen. The Redskins couldn't afford him. They tried to figure out a way they could get him. They didn't get him. He's just signed yesterday with the Seattle Seahawks. The Seattle Seahawks are loaded.
Yeah.
They are loaded. They've got your old defensive end, Bruce, what's his name? What's
Bruce
his
Irvin.
Last name?
Bruce Irvin.
Yeah,
man.
Let me tell you, he's in the Bruce Club. If your name is Bruce, you can join my club. Send $100,000 to Bruce Hall Sports. That's 12703 Hitchcock Court, Reston, Virginia, 20191. And I will send you a plaque that includes you in the Bruce Club. And I got to tell you, the one thing I've made is a lot of friends here. When you come to the Masters 28 straight years, you find out, when you're sitting on a green or if you're sitting on a tee box, every 9 minutes somebody gets there and there is some action, but those 9-minute intervals are great. because that's when you learn about people that you're near, and you make a lot of friends when you're at golf tournaments. I mean, I hated to leave at number two, but I went to 7 green yesterday, and I had the best time. It was one of the best views I've ever seen from anywhere. But let's talk NFL. Antoine Winfield signs with those guys. It looks like James Harrison, who plays, you know, has played with the Steelers for, what, 12 years?
He's been there for a while.
He's going to sign with Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, and apparently, this is breaking news, Roger Goodell fined him $75,000 for entertaining the thought of signing with the Bengals. It's not true. I just made that up.
That's pretty – I thought maybe your Pittsburgh blog guy made that
no,
up.
No, no. He didn't.
But that's funny. Well, Roger Goodell isn't that funny.
We're not expanding to Pittsburgh or Dallas because we hate those – of cities. So if you're from Pittsburgh or Dallas and you want an SMC blog there, screw off, buddy, because it's not happening.
You know what? That is not even nice, Roy.
That's life, all right?
Hey, listen, let me tell you about Pittsburgh. You know who's going to end up getting that Pittsburgh job when they lose again this year?
Who's that?
It's going to be Mike McCarthy.
So you think Tomlin's gone?
Yes. Huh. I think you can only go so long with okay. You know what I mean? I mean, the Steelers don't like being okay.
Well, he won 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah, but you know what? I think they'll give him one more year. But what if they go 7-9 this year? What if the Bengals go 10-6? What if the Ravens go 11-5 again? You know what I'm saying,
Roy? So you think the Ravens are going to win the division? You have the Ravens winning?
Yes. Absolutely, without question. It's not even close.
See, I have the Ravens going 8-8.
No, you're on drugs. That's your problem. And you don't know enough about football to understand. Look,
I don't know enough about football.
You don't know anything about football.
Really?
You know a little bit about know a little bit about other things.
I'm talking about NFL. I'm talking about NFL football.
I know so. You're my co-host. If I don't know, nobody knows.
Well, I would challenge you to say, if I don't know anything about football, then how did I finish above you in the percentage of picking games last year? So that means you must really not know anything about football.
Well, the difference between you and me is I actually, you know, I compete and I've competed for 20 years, and you can actually go to a website and see what I'm doing.
Yep.
With you, it's almost like you have to I had them and I had them.
Well, every Wednesday.
Oh, you can just go to my blog. Yeah.
That's right. Every Wednesday at sportsmancave.com.
Well, let me explain this to you. You also thought this year was going to be, I mean, did you pick the Ravens to win it all this year?
Yep. I had the Ravens-Packers in the Super Bowl, Ravens winning.
Okay. But do you remember what the guys in Baltimore were doing, though, this year? They were talking about this big one. Because remember, they got the left tackle, remember, from Minnesota, and they were worried about him even being able to play the left side. And this was before they moved Michael over to the right side. Mm-hmm. And they were worried. They were all bitching about Ray Rice doesn't touch the ball enough, and Flacco sucks, just like you do.
Flacco does suck, though.
Well, see, here's your problem, Roy. Quarterbacks that win Super Bowl rings and get, $15 million a year deals don't suck. And so your opinion means nothing to me anyway.
Try a $20 million a year that Flacco got, $15.
Exactly. But you think he sucks.
He does suck.
I think that
He's a big arm quarterback.
You know what? You know more than Ozzie Newsome and John Harbaugh anyway. Everybody knows you're smarter than those
two. I think that they are caught up in the fact
don't you think you're smarter than those two?
I think that they've never had a quarterback in Baltimore, and now they have a guy who can throw the deep ball and led them to a Super Bowl, and they think that he's the world. That's what I think.
I think that you really need to start taking drug tests.
I mean, who else? What other quarterbacks?
Somebody is slipping some kind of drug into whatever you're drinking or eating, because John Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome.
Is it possible that Ozzie Newsome just doesn't know quarterbacks? Is that possible? He's never had a good quarterback.
No,
he's never drafted a good quarterback. He brought in Steve McNair.
No, you know what? You know who he's like? He's like Joe Gibbs was. Joe Gibbs won with Mark Rippon.
Who led the league that year in passing and was a great quarterback?
No, he didn't. He didn't lead the league in passing.
Yes.
No, he did.
Okay, well, they went, what'd they go, 15-1 that year, and he led the league in passing?
they won because that was before free agency, and they had an offensive line that will one day almost all of them will be in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They also had a Super Bowl MVP named Timmy Smith, who was gone the next year because he was an average running back, yep. But he rushed for 223 yards.
Still the record.
John Elway.
Well,
I think it was broken, wasn't it?
I don't think so. Not
yeah,
in the
it
Super
was
Bowl.
Broken. You know who I think broke it? I don't know. Well, let's look that up.
I'm pretty
look
sure
it
it's
up.
Still a record.
Look it up, and I'll keep running my mouth. But listen, here's what I'm saying, Roy, and I mean this. You picked the Ravens to win the Super Bowl.
I did.
Well, without a quarterback, how are they going to do that?
Well, you take away
– Oh, wait a minute. Let me finish.
If you look at the stats, and the percentages of passing, completion percentage – from Flacco to any of the receivers, his completion percentage to anyone not named Anquan Boldin is below 50%. And then you send his number one target and number one touchdown getter and the number one, you know, safety valve. You send him across the country to your older brother, and now you don't have a receiver. You have two deep threats in Jones and Smith. Those are deep threats. So who's your underneath guy?
Okay, let me ask you a question, and this is a serious question.
Yeah.
And you and I can make wagers between the two of us because we're friends, right?
Of course.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
You're picking them to go 8-8, right?
8-8, 9-7, yeah.
Well, now, see, which is it, Roy?
Well, I think they'll be right around 500, and I think they finish third in the division.
Okay. If they finish higher than third, will you bet me $1,000 that they don't do that?
I will bet you a YouTube video in a Speedo dancing. And whoever, if they finish above third in the division, well, where do you think they're going to finish? I think they're going to finish third. And you think they're going to win the division?
I think they win the division
again. So if they win the division, I will dance in a Speedo in a YouTube video to some stupid techno music. And if they finish third in the division, you will dance in a Speedo to a YouTube video to Call Me Maybe. And we'll put it up on YouTube and we'll send links everywhere.
I will absolutely do that. I'll tell you what else I'll do, too. You can pick out the music, but I got to pick out the music for when you dance.
That's fine. Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Hey, do I have something to say?
Yes, you do.
You do.
For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to protect you and protect your homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk AM 1230 WFAS. We wait for you.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
New NeoGraft Hair Restoration Program at Park Avenue Medical Spa is going 6 months strong. Receive a $500 credit for any hair restoration treatments booked in February. For more information at parkavenuemedicalspa.com. And we are back here at AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking Masters, we're talking baseball, and we're betting Speedo YouTube videos over the Ravens.
I'm already picking out the song.
Was
it's
that
gonna
it?
Be an old time? It's gonna be an old time song for you too, like a Motown song.
Hey, I can dance to anything, Bruce. I can
I
dance
know
to anything.
Can. Hey, listen, somebody told me they have film of your bachelor party.
That's
and you don't. Oh no, that's not impossible.
Everybody signed NDAs, right?
Roy, they've already offered it to me, and you know who it is. Hey, listen, let me ask you a question, Roy. Real
he
quick.
Looks nervous
no,
as
I'm
anything
not,
right
I'm
now.
Not
he's
nervous.
Like,
no.
And no, then, he told and then me, the told, look comes out.
It's probably video already, of me just completely destroying 12-year-olds at NASCAR and Motor Speedway go karts. $25
you
all you can drive.
Hey, I'm better than
oh
you.
Oh my god.
Look, when I ride
oh
go-karts, I'm a competitive person, okay? So when I drive go-karts, you're going to the wall if I'm going to finish ahead of you. I don't care if you're 9, 12, or 50 here with your kids. Like, I am going to race hard. I turn left better than you. All
I'm
right?
pretty sure at the go-kart raceway in Deep Creek Lake, they probably have my photo on there because I destroyed my daughter. I like sent her
I
into the wall.
I go hard, man.
My 12 or 11-year-old daughter went into the wall,
yeah.
got stuck on the wall.
It's the only
like,
way to race.
I just lapped you.
Yeah, that's
You're
right.
horrible at this.
Hey, let me ask you a question. I got to read this to you. This is hilarious to me. And I wish we had our boy Tony Mazur on today. And by the way, Tony's doing a lot of work on KRK in the morning now.
Yeah.
Colt McCoy, this is yeah, but listen, this is a quote from like yesterday. The Niners' focus obviously different than the Browns. You think? I mean, come on, man. You just left one of the worst teams in the NFL and you're going to a team that was in the Super Bowl.
Oh, that was Colt? That was Colt saying about his new team?
That just shows what kind of education they get at the University of Texas. Jesus
well, you know,
Christ.
I'm glad that Brett he's Favre. Out of there, man. I'm glad that he's out of Cleveland. There's nothing good can come out of Cleveland. They draft a 28-year-old, 30-year-old rookie to start over you after they, you know, left you in and put you back in after you suffered a concussion. I mean, there's no good that comes out of Cleveland right now. So I'm glad that he's in a good position out. You know, he's a backup out there, but I'd much rather be a backup out in San Francisco backing up Colin Kaepernick than backing up, you know, anybody in Cleveland.
Well, you know what? It's also this. Think of the education he's going to get there compared to Cleveland. Now, don't get me wrong. Cleveland's got a great coach there starting this year.
Yeah.
But they're going to get better, no question about it.
They'll be better. They won't be
yeah, absolutely.
Good, they'll be better.
And it is a football town, you know. But San Francisco, come on, man. Even in the offseason, you can go see the Giants play, for crying out loud. I mean, how great is that? I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm pumping the Giants. Giants, by the way, are 8-3. Three teams in the National League West are 7-4. And then, of course, there's the San Diego Padres. So
that's a great baseball town right there, San Diego.
They named their dog Petco Park. You gotta love that.
Who finishes with the worst record? The San Diego Padres, the Miami Marlins, or the Houston Astros? Who's the worst team in baseball? Because I think it's one of those three. It has to be one of those three.
It is one of those three, and what we should do is I'd like you to put this up on the station blog this week, Roy, and let's have a contest. Whoever wins. We're gonna have to do something. We're gonna have to do like records too to have the tiebreakers. Let's do that because, you know, I love Bo Porter and Houston was beaten. They've been beating people.
Yeah, they got my man Justin Maxwell out there as a poster child. I love Justin Maxwell.
They were up 4-1 in the ninth inning against the Los Angeles Angels, and your boy, I think it was last night, Albert Pujols hit a 2-run double down the line and won the game.
Yeah.
They don't have a closer, unfortunately.
No, well, they don't have a lot of things.
Hey, Phil Mickelson just birdied number 9, which is never an easy hole. He's 6 over now. Phil, I still think that's not going to do it, buddy. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm looking at the Masters. Looks like Moore is now 5 over. David Toms and Glover have teed off. They're 4 over right now. It looks like the front looks like it's playing a little easy. Hey, I'm going to tell you, you know, Tiger can shoot 31 or a 32 on the front. He's going to be right there for the back. This is going to be a horse race. This is going to be like a Preakness finish where everybody's coming from everywhere. Jose Maria Olafable hasn't teed off yet. I don't understand why, but he hasn't. Phil Mickelson's 2 under on the front. He's 6 over now. So what does that tell you? No pressure, shoots 34. Pressure, 8 over. Hello. Phil, you know, even though Phil has won 3 jackets here, he just doesn't look comfortable to me. And I hope it's not, you know, that ailment that he has, but you know, with arthritic problems, you know, in all of his joints, because it could be something like that.
Why?
He looked like did you see the swing on number 17 where he hurt his back? He grabbed his back. As soon as he did that on Thursday, he hadn't been the same since, so he might be hurt.
I mean, playing anything with arthritis or joint problems or hand problems or anything like that is not fun, man. I mean, I have psoriasis,
I just thought it was dandruff.
No, I have psoriasis on my hands. Whenever I have my cuts open up or anything like that, throwing a baseball becomes hard, and let alone swinging a golf club. I play with two golf clubs some of the time. I own a set of pair of golf clubs that have like a little bit of padding. They're winter gloves. So whenever my hands are acting up, man, it's tough to play like that, man. And that's not arthritis. Arthritis is much worse than that. So yeah, it'll affect you.
Have you heard of some cocoa butter?
Cocoa butter? Yeah.
Yeah.
Cocoa butter.
Yeah, but you don't. Yeah,
I mean, I take better care of my hands now. But when I played lacrosse growing up in high school, and lacrosse is a brutal game, and it requires very much, you know, hand eye coordination. So when my hands were acting up, man, it hurt. it hurt to play. And I was an attackman, which, if you know anything about lacrosse, is the offensive side. It's like being a forward in hockey.
Yeah, so. You know what? As soon as lacrosse makes its way onto my show, except for me to talk about the finals of the NCAA, I'll care about that. Hey, listen, let me ask you this. New York Jets, what's going on with the Jets? Have you heard any news about the Jets, Roy? Because I can't get anything out of anybody that has anything to do with the New York Jets.
Well, they're keeping their moves quiet for the first time in a couple of years. Which is
quiet? Are there any moves that they're making good?
Is it quiet, or does anybody care?
Well, no, people care. The New York media cares, and I'm sure the Jets will make some sort of news, and you notice they're still making headlines because they're dangling Darrelle Revis over the NFL. So they're still making their headlines, which they love, and they haven't really done any real damage. You know, they lost their number one, self-claimed number one fan in Fireman, whatever his name was. He's stepped down. So they have to keep the fan base intact. They're not going to do it with butt tackle Sanchez. So they're going to end up trading Tim Tebow somewhere or releasing him. Revis should be traded. He can still play, but you can get a lot for him.
I think the biggest news, though, is that Tim Tebow had to come out this week and say, "I'm going to have a good attitude in practice." When you have to say that, you know that you're not going to have a good attitude in practice.
Well, the team alone,
Hey, real quick, they signed their kickers, Derek Dimke as a free agent, and they signed Ryan Quigley, and I'm pretty sure that Quigley went to Boston College, and he's a kid not far from here in Little River, South Carolina.
Yeah.
He made the Bears roster and was that inactive for the season opener, and he got waived September 10th. Now, they signed him. That doesn't mean they're going to keep him. But at least they brought some competition in there for the kickers. I think what they're trying to do, because their kicking game really wasn't that good last year. And, of course, it's really hard to make field goals when you're on the wrong side of the field anyway.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with butt tackle, you know, Mark Sanchez.
He's terrible.
He's never in the red zone.
You know who butt tackle has better stats than? Your boy Joe Flacco.
But Joe Flacco has something that butt tackle Sanchez will never have, and that's a ring on his finger that says he's the Super Bowl champion. Mm-hmm. Here's another thing he won't have. He won't have people come. I mean, he's not gonna have a $23 million a year contract either. The next contract that Mark Sanchez gets will be a 1-year deal for like $1 million as a backup. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yeah. Look, I don't like Sanchez, but you gotta question the things they do in the Jets organization. They extended his contract, they paid him, then brought in Tebow and paid him, and then now they're talking about and then they got rid of the weapons. Santonio Holmes is coming back, which you have to like, but
jeez.
I mean, the Jets are a mess. And apparently that's the way that they like it in New York. The Jets organization loves to be a mess. They love to be a sideshow circus.
Hey, Roy, real quick. When the schedules come out Tuesday, we're gonna know everybody. You know, next Sunday, and we challenge everybody on this. Come out with all the records for all the new teams next Sunday. If you send it into the station, if you send it in to the station either via email, or you can go to sportsmancave.com, you can go to brucehallsports.com. Leave us all of the division winners and the records of everybody. And by the way, just to explain this to you how it works, if it doesn't come out at 500 when you add it all up, you're not very good. I'm Bruce Hall. Do I have something to say?
Nope. See you on the other side. Stick with us. AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You pick the insects
off. We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here at AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're entering our home stretch, so to speak. We got the Masters going on. They've already teed off. Phil Mickelson is playing, as Bruce has mentioned, and we're in our final day. So today, somebody will wear a jacket put on by the man Bubba Watson. So very interesting stuff.
Hey, by the way, Roy.
Yeah.
Jets record at the end of next year, 5-11.
You think so?
There's no doubt. I mean, they got a tough schedule. They've got at home. They've got the Saints, mm-hmm. the Tampa Bay Bucks, who are going to be very good next year. They got Miami, who's much improved. Mm-hmm. They got the Steelers. They'll beat the Bills. They'll beat the Browns. They'll beat the Raiders. That's it at home. And on the road, I only have them beating Carolina and Tennessee, and that might not happen. So, I mean, if they beat Carolina and Tennessee, mm-hmm. they're going to be 5-11.
So you think you think they split with the Bills and they get swept by the Dolphins?
Absolutely. The Dolphins are going to beat them. The Dolphins always win in New York. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins have had problems with the Jets in Miami, but they're not going to have problems with them next year. Now, let me tell you, that Dolphin team is a potential playoff team, in my opinion. I just think they are, because the Jets are going to lose 11, 12 games in the East, right?
I don't know. I don't agree with you.
Well, it doesn't matter what you think. John Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome are dubbing as a bag of hammers.
Give me one good quarterback that Ozzie Newsome has drafted or signed.
I don't need a quarterback.
That's all I'm saying.
Hey, the guy
knows defense. The guy knows defense, but he's never brought in a quarterback. That's all I'm saying.
You're like talking to a Martian about soccer. Okay, you don't know what you're talking about. The quarterback isn't the fine. The quarterback is big. But they think enough of this guy to keep him from everybody else.
Because
they wanted him.
He knows the system. They don't want to start over.
Well, he knows the system, and they don't want to start over. It's a little more than that when you pay somebody $23 million a year. If he knew the system and they didn't want to start over, they might have just, they might have just put him off.
Look,
they could have.
I don't know why everyone is so high on Ozzie Newsome and quarterbacks. He's never brought in a – look, he knows the game of football. He understands the game of football. He understands defense. He brings –
All you ever do, Roy, is argue the guy's point that's on the other side of the ball from you. Everything you say, he knows football.
Yeah.
That's all he's got to know. He knows how to win football games. You know how you win football games? With your front seven and with your front line.
Look, Ozzie Newsome has been the guy who's built a great defense. That's been his M.O. since he's been a GM.
He builds great defenses.
Hey, Last year, his defense was terrible.
They got a pretty good offense. They got a good offense, though.
He's trading away key parts of that offense.
His defense was terrible, and they won a Super Bowl. Jesus, maybe it's a good thing Ozzie Newsome doesn't know what he's doing. Then the other 31 teams have a chance. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm talking to a moron.
Look.
I mean, you think John Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome don't know what you know? They know what you know. And you know what they think? They think you're wrong.
Well, I think that they traded away one of their best offensive players to circulate the offense around a guy named Joe Flacco.
Anquan Boldin, who can't run past you anymore.
It doesn't matter if he can run past anybody
because they have
Jones and Smith on the outside to run past people. Now they have nobody. Who's their safety valve?
You know what we're going to do? We're going to find out how good Anquan Boldin is next year when he's got Colin Kaepernick thrown to him.
Yeah, and he's going to light it up. The San Francisco 49ers are the team to beat.
How many receptions will he have in a 16-game season? Tell me right now.
He'll have 65, 70 receptions.
Okay, how many touchdowns?
He'll probably I'll give him 9 touchdowns.
I'll take the under for $1,000.
You think he'll have less than 9 touchdowns and he'll have less than 70 receptions?
Yes.
Who's their number one wideout in San Francisco?
Crabtree.
You think that Crabtree will draw double coverage?
I think Crabtree will draw some double coverage, absolutely.
Okay, so then who does that leave open? Who's their number two receiver?
Well, they'll put one guy on Boldin. They can put a linebacker on him. He can run with him.
I will take Boldin on the way over touchdowns with a linebacker on him.
All right, you take the over. I'll take the under. $1,000. We're done. All right, no, let's do another one of those dance things on YouTube. You're going to be wanting to get your money back anyway. What did we bet on anyway? I can't remember.
Well, you obviously felt very strong about what you bet, having not knowing
what
you bet.
Well, tell me what it was, because I'm sure I was right.
It was the Ravens, where they're going to end up in the.
Oh, yeah, you think they're going to be 8-8. I think they're going to be better than 8-8.
I said 8-8, 9-7. It wasn't on the record.
Then you said they'd be in third place or worse.
Yes, that's my argument. Third place or worse. That's what we bet, is where they're going to end up.
I think they're going to. Right, and I'm over. I'm one or two.
No, okay, you have one. No, you have one, and no, I have three.
No. If you're going to take third or below, I get one and two.
No, you get absolutely one, and I get third. That's the way it works. I didn't say third or below.
What happens if they finish in second?
Then nobody wins, and we both do the dance, I guess.
Okay, that's fine.
You don't get a consolation that's prize. Good. There's no participation trophies.
You have to slow dance with each other.
Well, you're going to make up your own rules as you go anyway.
There's no participation trophies.
Hey, do me a favor. Let's take a peek and see if anybody's made a birdie at the Masters in the last several minutes. Rory McIlroy has not made – well, he did make a birdie, then he made a bogey. God, he's got to be bummed. He shouldn't be playing this late. Nobody's even three over. Four over is the best score right now. No, I'm sorry. Henrik Stenson has teed off. He's three over. And by the way, Fanny must be having a baby because she's not caddying for him anymore. At least she's not caddying for him right now. I think she's married and she had a child a couple of years ago. I think she's having another one now. And that's why she's not here. You got some good guys getting ready to tee off. KJ Choi, Luke Donald. You had Luke Donald too, didn't you, Roy?
No.
Yes, you did.
No,
you
didn't.
Always have Luke Donald. What are you talking about? He's two. Oh, God. He was your guy last year. He was two over. He'll be all right. He'll probably finish under par. Schwartzel, who won it here 2 years ago, he's one over. Johnson is a monster, but he's one over. He can't putt. Freddie Couples, even par. Jason Dufner from Auburn, even par. And oddly enough, Dufner not involved in any bad doing at Auburn University because he was on the golf team. And evidently, they don't do bad things on the golf team. No people robbing people, gun charges, none of that on the golf team there. Watney's not going to do it. Jimmy Furyk, Westwood. Now we're getting into the guys. Hey, Roy,
yeah.
In the NFC East, let's talk New York Giant football. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's going to go on with the New York Giants? Are they going to? They look. You talk about the Jets being quiet. How quiet have the Giants been?
Well, the Giants have lost a lot of pieces, and even the guys that they're going after, they're not landing. Like what's his name? The receiver who re-signed with the Patriots. What is his name? You know who I'm talking about. Number 11.
Not Mario Manningham.
No,
he's in San Francisco.
No, he's a slot receiver.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's another guy that could draw double coverage, Mario Manningham. He got hurt this year, and they still made it to the Super Bowl without him.
I think the Giants draft a receiver in the first round. At least I could see that happening. I think the Giants go one of two ways in the first round. I think they go middle linebacker, and I hope for New York's sake that it's not Monte Teo. Or they go wide receiver, which is the way that I would go if I'm drafting, and I take Tavon Austin if he's on the board. That's where I would do.
You know what I see happening with the Giants? They gotta draft tacklers. The one thing they did not do this year is they didn't tackle anybody. They gave up a lot of yards on the ground and a lot of yards in the air, and there were too many broken tackles, and I think that's what you'll find their draft. And I think you're absolutely right about linebacker. I think you're right about safety. They did lose Kenny Phillips, remember?
Edelman is the guy that they didn't get.
you're talking about Edelman.
Yeah.
He's a wide receiver.
Yes.
Julian Edelman, who did he sign with?
He re-signed with the Patriots.
Well, you know why? Because he's not that good. And a lot of people thought he was definitely going somewhere else, and he didn't go anywhere.
A lot of people thought he was going to the Giants.
Hey, Kenny Phillips. Kenny Phillips is gone. I want to say Kenny Phillips signed with Seattle too, but he didn't. Kenny Phillips signed with somebody else. They lost him. He was probably their best guy.
And they lost Canty to the Ravens.
Yes, they
Kenny
did.
Kenny Phillips is with the Eagles.
By the way, that Canty signing was pretty quiet. And he's a good player, too. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm telling you.
And then they lost OCU Mignora to the Falcons. And I believe Ahmad Bradshaw, did he sign with the Falcons?
Well, they get Prince back. Prince Amukamura was injured in preseason when I went up there to watch.
Bradshaw is still a free agent, so.
Yeah, he'll re-sign with them probably. It'd be crazy not to re-sign with them. I think a lot of people are worried about his foot, don't you?
Well, he was released by them, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, who?
Matt Bradshaw. I'm pretty sure he was released.
You know what? He might have been released because, you know what? He was.
Yeah, he was
because
released.
He had a big nut this year. They were going to have to pay him. They did sign, Jason Pierre-Paul, they're obviously going to keep him. He's a guy they're going to end up paying. Andre Rolla's back. Aaron Ross re-signed with them. I'm sitting here looking. You know who signed with them? Ryan Terrain, their running back.
Really?
Washington Redskin.
Yeah.
Signed as a free agent. Didn't get a lot of money. I think got like a $25,000 signing bonus, about $850 a year. He re-signed with them. They re-signed their punter, Steve Weatherford, who might have been all-pro this year. He's very good. They got Corey Webster at corner coming back. You know, the NFC East, to me, is very vanilla. Does that seem right? You know, we got the Eagles with a new coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got the Eagles, with, for the most part, a new quarterback. I mean, he's going to use the kid that's there now and see how that goes. But the Eagles could draft a quarterback. I think Buffalo's going to draft Ryan Nassib from Syracuse because he played for the Bills head coach. And I see that happening. Hmm. A lot of people have him rated above Geno now. And it's not so much the physical, it's the mental part of the game. They just seem to think he's a better fit for a pro-style offense. I think Geno's like number two now. Nassib and most, like if you look at most of these guys that do the blogs, they think that could go either way. Geno Smith may go to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Jacksonville's got to draft a quarterback, don't they, Roy?
Yeah. Yeah, they got to do something. I see Geno going to, like you're saying, either Buffalo, Jacksonville. I could see him as an Eagle, though. I could definitely see him as an Eagle. I mean, there's no quarterback in the Eagles organization right now. There's Michael Vick. There's Nick Foles, who couldn't get it done. Michael Vick couldn't get it done. And then he brings in Dennis Dixon, his quarterback at Oregon when he was there, just kind of as a safety valve. And then they have Trent.
Right.
Trent Edwards is on their roster. He probably won't make the team. And then they have G.J. Kine, whoever the heck that guy is, and he'll probably be their practice squad guy. I mean, there's no quarterback in the organization. I don't see a reason why Geno wouldn't be drafted by them unless he's gone. And I could see Philadelphia trading back. I could see them trading back, taking Geno Smith and
right.
picking up a later round guy.
No, you know what? I agree with you. You know, the thing I like about Jacksonville is they've got some good young talent down there. They got Justin Blackmon, a wide receiver from Oklahoma State. Gabbard is not the guy. He's going to be a backup there for sure. They also have they got a good defense. You know, they played some good defense towards the end of the year. They get MJD back next year. Who isn't going to hurt him, is he? They get Mercedes Lewis, who's an all-pro tight end.
Yep.
Do I have something to say?
No. I could see Matt Barkley going to Jacksonville. I think that he more fits their mold, so to speak, with the traditional running back there. But that does it for today.
Yeah, are we done?
We're done.
Hey, turn on the Masters. Look at number 18, T-Box. I'll be the guy in the green long-sleeve shirt flexing his muscles. I'm Bruce Saul. I've had a blast, Roy. Thank you, Matthew. We'll see you guys next week on News Talk. AM 1230 WFAS.